9 o'clock a.m. on Phil Albrecht's hearing examiner for Kitsap County. Holding a couple hearings this morning. The first one is going to be three permits for an accessory dwelling unit composed of a shoreline substantial development permit, a zoning conditional use permit, and a shoreline conditional use permit. A lot of permits for such a small project. That's the way the code works here, though. The hearing format is we'll start off with a presentation from staff, and that will be Ms. Nitsch. Is that how to pronounce your last name? Okay,
yes.
Great. All right.
And so Phil, okay. Sorry not to interrupt, but staff have requested to hear agenda item B first. So Darren Gurney can go first and kind of show our staff like how it's going to work, and then
item A first. That's fine.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I usually like to do the longer one last so people don't have to wait through it, but they both look like they're pretty short anyway, so this works just fine. Okay, so now we'll move on to the F&L Properties application. This is for a shoreline variance application. File number, let's see here, where we got the file number, 23-04888. And hearing format is we'll start off with a presentation from staff. Looks like that's going to be Mr. Gurney. After Mr. Gurney's done, then we'll move on to applicant comments, if there are any. Then the public, if there's any public, and then back to Mr. Gurney to answer questions, complete the record, and the applicant, as a matter of due process, gets final opportunity to present evidence. By state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence that's put in the record today. That way we all know what information is considered for that final decision. I'm not allowed to talk to staff or applicant or get any other information except the exhibits and testimony that's made part of the record. And Mr. Gurney has put together a staff report of 18 exhibits, composed of the staff report and the CEPA review, stormwater review. We've got a public comment from the Suquamish Tribe, geotechnical report, habitat report, site plans, and public comment from Stevens. Does anyone have any objection to entry of those documents or need to see them? If you're participating virtually, just click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen and we'll recognize you if you need to see any of those documents or have an objection. Hearing seeing none, I'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 18. And Mr. Gurney, I'll swear in at this point. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Okay. We will pull up the slideshow in just a moment. Thank you, Luan. Okay, so this is the presentation for F&L Properties Shoreline Variance. My name is Darren Gurney with Department of Community Development. I am the current Planning and Environmental Supervisor. As per the norm, this is meant to supplement the staff report, not replace it. So this is just additional information and clarification as needed today. I thought it was user error on the slideshow buttons, but it looks like Liliana is going to help me out today. So the request from the applicant is the ability to construct a single-story garage of approximately 1,000 square feet, revising the driveway location to create a driveway apron in front of said garage, and add a 403 square foot addition to the existing single family residence. And this is over existing impervious surface and in place of an existing over structure that is in place in the form of a carport. The garage will require a 28% reduction for the buffer to the shoreline and 18% reduction to the southwest buffer. No buffer reduction is necessary for the addition to the house because it is replacing existing development. Next, please. So applicants are F&L Properties LLC. We received a complete application a while back, November of 2023. We sent out a notice of application on December 15th of 2023, and while SEPA is exempt, our notice of application used the optional DNS process for which we did receive a few comments, as you mentioned. One of the comments dealt with view blockage criteria and the potential of blocking the view of the neighbors. And that item I can address right now. View blockage is somewhat subjective in our Shoreline Mastery Program. It is something that we use that if you have a 10% reduction of your view, we would consider that substantial. And that 10% threshold comes from our zoning variance criteria. We have 10% is a typical item that goes through a ministerial review where the director has authority to approve a 10% variance in some way. So that becomes our threshold in the absence of that in our Shoreline Master Program. The proposal at hand does not exceed the 10% threshold. The big piece of this is that when we're measuring that 10%, we have a vaguely described view. So you could include just the water. You can include the water and land behind it. You can include almost the entire sky. So it becomes very difficult to administer a view blockage criteria with that baseline information. But the property in question, the height of the structure is not exceeding the limits allowed by shoreline codes. So we believe this does meet the intent of the code and does not create a substantial view blockage. Next, please. A little bit of background. This is located in the Commissioner 2 District, just northeast of Port Orchard off of Beach Drive. The property, as you can see through many of our aerial imagery and some of the photos you'll see coming up, is a projection out into the water. Bulkhead created in the early 1900s, backfilled with soils, and then proceeded to have development of a single-family home. And this was all prior to shoreline codes. This allows this to qualify as existing development for the purposes of the permit. Next, please. The zoning designation is rural residential, one unit per 5 acres. However, this is not a subdivision. Again, this is existing development, so expansion of an SFR is allowed. It's not creating any additional dwelling units. Next, please. This is the site plan provided by the applicant. It is a little difficult to read, but in the center of that area is where the garage will be located. The existing driveway to the east, that is being removed and replanted with vegetation. Mitigation for impervious surfaces created by the new garage is in the western corner of that bulkhead area. And so you have mitigation plantings to achieve no net loss. Next, please. This is our zoning designation map. Just reflecting the rural residential. Next, please. Our critical areas map. As you can see, there are landslide potential, erosion hazard areas. You also have estuarine wetlands and tidelands. All critical areas on the property were addressed through geotechnical reports and habitat management plan. This also included a cumulative impact analysis addressing if others in the vicinity did the same things, would that have a larger impact? And by implementing our mitigation sequencing and the mitigation plantings, this would not have a cumulative impact on the shoreline. Next, please. Giving a little history, so this is 2012 aerial imagery. This is what we use typically to understand what it looks like in the winter. And as we go through here, you'll see a progression of imagery. Next, please. 2018 imagery. This is meant to show a baseline of one piece that we are recognizing is not part of this permit, which is any kind of bulkhead increase in height, which subsequent aerial imagery does show there's a possibility. And so it's very clear in our staff report that this report is not approving any kind of bulkhead improvements that may have occurred in the past without permits while the shoreline code was in play. Next, please. 2023 aerial imagery, you can see that there is new concrete on the bulkhead edges out towards the water. This again is the component that we are not approving of in this permit, and that is for subsequent permits if necessary. This also indicates that you have the potential for development on an adjacent parcel to the northwest. As part of our staff report and conditions of approval, if there's development within 5 feet of the parcel line, that would require at least a temporary construction easement to establish the legality that would allow somebody to do this development. Next, please. This is our imagery from Department of Ecology. So we use this to further inform what the site might look like prior to development. You'll note that, again, in these photos, it also will indicate a little bit of treatment on the bulkhead that might have been increased in height, but that is addressed in the staff report as well. Next, please. And again, this image really illustrates that it is over the shoreline. So as much as our codes identify shoreline as the edge of the bulkhead for ordinary high watermark, this is directly over tidelands, even though it is a historic fill feature. Next. This is recent imagery. So Ecology put together this this set of maps along the entire shoreline of Kitsap County. They either walked or used a kayak to go across all the properties, and they have this available to the public. So these are a couple of images where you can see the new concrete form above an existing concrete. Next slide, please. And similar case here. Next, please. This development proposal, the variance, it does align with the goals for the comprehensive plan. Environmental goals, it is mitigating for any impacts to the environment. It is also recognizing the historic archaeological resource possibility. And we, as a standard condition of approval, should any kind of construction reveal cultural or archaeological elements of significance, they are to inform the appropriate agencies and government jurisdictions. Next, please. And finally, for the variance criteria, we do recognize that this is a unique property. There's no other place to locate the garage that is proposed. It is central to the site instead of going closer to the shoreline in any to the northwest, northeast. It does go closer to the shoreline to the southwest, but there is no other option. And by including a garage similar to an appurtenance, it is the only location for a garage. This variance does allow for the use of the property, so this is consistent with subsection B. It's not materially detrimental to the immediate vicinity. Multiple properties in the vicinity have garages, so they are enjoying the same benefits of other neighbors in the vicinity. And then finally, this is the minimum relief necessary to get the application to an approval. We did work with the applicants significantly to minimize the amount of impacts to the shoreline, which is why you do see the shift of a road approach from the northeastern portion to a point that is directly away from the garage to the roadway. A small little alcove that allows turnaround on the site and allows the applicants to pull out into the right-of-way without backing movements, so it's a safe exit and entrance into the property. Next, please. So finally, the staff does recommend approval as conditioned. At this point, the hearing examiner reviews, and then you recommend approval, of course, to the Department of Ecology, who has the final authority of decision. And that concludes our presentation.
Okay. Yeah, just some questions about the minimum necessary to afford relief criterion. I mean, if they have a reasonably sized footprint already, it's kind of hard to justify this addition, even if they don't have a garage, especially if they're remodeling the house, they could just put a garage within the existing footprint instead of that addition. I mean, what's the size of the current home right now? I couldn't find that in the staff report.
I will have to look that up. And I do know that the applicant's rep is here today, I believe.
Okay.
So they might be able to answer that question. I will say it's a modest-sized home. It is not a It's not a large home. I believe it's approximately 1,300 square feet, but I will have to double check on that figure.
Okay. And I think the staff report kind of generally said that's comparable, or the requested size is comparable to surrounding homes. Is, can you provide any more detail on that? Again, that's kind of key to...
Yes. The homes in the surrounding area actually are probably larger than this home. Multiple stories in those locations, which going taller in this location would also... that runs into the view line criteria as well. So
but as proposed, is it still pretty similar to the surrounding home sizes, or are the surrounding home sizes still larger?
I believe that the surrounding home sizes are still larger.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate your comment. All right, let's go on to the applicant. Does the applicant want to add anything at this point? And Liliana, are they virtual or are they in the meeting room?
They are in the meeting room. The applicant's representative, William Palmer, will be speaking.
Okay. All right, Mr. Palmer, let me swear you in. If you get a chance, just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Okay.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I'm not sure exactly how my computer is going to interface with. One of the, first of all, I'm William M. Palmer. I'm here representing John and Jerry Grice, and they are present in the room. And I don't know if my slide presentation is going to work, but I've got a couple of things that I want to cover, knowing that, that the... Department of Ecology is going to be reviewing your decision, and I wanted to take issue with some things that are in the staff report, and I'm going to go to page 5 of the staff report to start with, and I will make my presentation, my slide presentation, available to the hearing examiner as well in digital form as well as in written form. But on page 5, staff lists some ecosystem and habitat goals, and several policies. And I want to take issue with the policies that pertain to ecologic habitats and ecological processes because one of the issues in siting a garage on this piece of property has to do with whether or not it's justifiable buffer. And when you look at the definition of a buffer in the Shoreline Master Program, you don't find that there's evidence of such a buffer present on this property. Now, you can say that, well, we're buffering from the shoreline, so therefore we have 85 feet, but that's not even how the buffer is defined in the shoreline. My slide presentation would validate the fact that what the buffer definition is found in the Shoreline Master Program. Also, what the concept of no net loss, how that's defined, and also the ecosystems and how they're defined. None of these supported policies of goal one, ecosystem and, and habitat, are evident in the property. Also, the habitat report, which clients had performed on this property, they didn't find any supportive information relative to the subject property from the bulkhead to the existing house of any evidence of a buffer that meets the definition in the Shoreline Master Program. So my clients are being held to a standard that doesn't exist in the code. And that also on page 6, they've got environmental policy 4.1 has to do with the collaborative across county programs and external agencies. The only problem with that policy is it ignores private property ownership and those that have that own a piece of property like the Grices. So I object to that being a citation, because unless collaboration exists between property owners versus agencies, we have a constitutional problem. I'm not going to get into that, but we have, moving on to environmental policy 5.3, maintain and enhance long-term quality and quantity, quality and quantity of water resources. Well, the bulkhead and the backfill behind the bulkhead upon which the existing house rests took place in the 1950s. The house wasn't built until 1970, and so it's been there a very long time, and there's no indication of any quality or quantity effect on water resources. Then I want to move on to page 9. And this has to do with variances, and as might be applicable to this piece of property. We submitted an address of all the variance criteria found in the Shoreline Master Program and the Shoreline Management Act, and wanted to, under the environmental assessment found on page 9, move to the second sentence. The variance only approves the proposed changes indicated in the site plan. seems straightforward enough. Vehicles and structures on the western portion of the site, fences constructed on the north northern edge of the bulkhead, and the new concrete on the entire bulkhead are not approved in this permit. Conditions of approval prevent vehicles from parking on the site. Well, if there's no buffer, what's the problem with parking on the site? And I can go into great detail about this. In fact, one of the exhibits that I'll be submitting that was to go along with my PowerPoint deals with these kind of issues in detail. My contention is that a variance process should never have been required. Now, my clients did acquiesce, and we went through the variance process in hopes of expediting the building permit process, approval process, which the building permit was submitted in end of January of 2021. That's 5 years ago, a little more than 5 years. And we still don't have building permit approval. And for a long time, we've been held up in the processing of this variance. And that's a concern to my clients. On many occasions, they've been to the Department of Community Development inquiring about the processing of this permit. And yet we know that ultimately, once the hearing examiner renders the decision, that we will be waiting at least 30 days to see what the Department of Ecology may choose to do. And we're prepared for that, but on the other hand, when certain definitions are not met and you're subject to a process, it gets a little old after a while. On moving on to page 12 of the staff report, wanted to highlight the fact that there are no wetlands on the site. Moving into the central paragraph under critical, entitled critical areas, and the habitat plan that we submitted states that there are no federally listed species or their critical habitats noted in the data that would be affected by the project. Priority habitat and species would not be harmed by the project, and the proposed mitigation is expected to provide a net benefit. Well, again, my clients have agreed to provide mitigation. And what's the mitigation for? It's for loss of habitat. No, there's no direct correlation to that. Is it for a loss of a buffer or an impingement on the buffer? Well, a buffer has to have native vegetation in it. This is between the bulkhead and the existing house. There's virtually no vegetation. moving on to page 14. view protection issues. That was addressed in detail in December, early December 2024. It was again addressed in the updated habitat report that was submitted last fall in 2025. view protection definitely is not a not an issue, because across on the south side of Beach Drive, the three homes that are closely positioned to this property have an elevation difference, several feet. One case, about 40 feet of height difference between this site and I included in my graphics, which are being submitted, a picture of the front elevations of both the garage and the house with its additions. And included in that graphic is a notation of the heights of the peak heights of the new structures, and the Shoreline Management Act, as well as the County Shoreline Master Program, allow up to 35 feet, but that's to the peak and not how the height of a building is measured under the building code or even referenced in the zoning ordinance. In short, we're thankful that staff did recommend approval, but we believe that we've been subject to a process that wasn't necessary in the first place. And particularly not necessary were the, quote, mitigation sequencing elements, where we were required to address a not build, which is the first option, or if you build, you got to provide compensation in the form of new vegetation on the site that really doesn't support vegetation in the first place. And that's been true for close to 50 years. In order to get new vegetation to grow, soil has to be imported, and of course plants have to be maintained for a period of time in hopes that they'll be established on a permanent basis. The applicant's efforts to get plants to grow have met with mostly failure, but again, these are things that never should have been a requirement for this particular project. one last comment, and it's something I've been concerned about relative to this property and others in Kitsap County, is that you have real buffers and you have mythological buffers. In this case, the buffer is mythological. And you've got terms that are cast around by State Department of Ecology, picked up on by Kitsap County, a term called no net loss. Well, in order to make a no net loss assessment, you have to have established a baseline environmental study to know what you had, to know whether it's going to be lost or not. And Kitsap County, and that's also true of the State Department of Ecology, nobody has ever conducted a study in this county to establish a baseline from which you can measure whether there's a loss or not. And when they use the term no net loss, it means there might be some loss, but what's acceptable loss and what isn't, that's also also not determined. So while the clients and I appreciate the recommendation of approval, we think that the conditions of approval should be mitigated by the reality of the ordinance prescriptions, which start with the definitions, versus wish list of things that one might hope for. my clients may wish to also testify, but I have copies of what I was going to use for the PowerPoint and the supplemental discussion of required variance code compliance criteria. And I think I have enough for staff as well as the hearing examiner.
Okay. So Mr. Palmer, you said you had a PowerPoint you weren't able to show and you wanted to make that an exhibit, is that right?
Yes, and I have a digital format for that if the hearing examiner would like that, as well as the hard copies.
Okay, yeah, digital is always the easiest. So we got your PowerPoint, we'll make exhibit 19, and then 20, you said you had a criteria analysis, is that right?
Yes, and that's supplemental to the PowerPoint.
Okay, and then was there another document as well?
Well, I have a hard copy of the PowerPoint.
Oh, okay, all right. So, well, I'll just say, I mean, does anyone have any objection over entry of the PowerPoint as 19 or the variance criteria analysis as exhibit 20? Okay, hearing and seeing no objections, we'll admit those two documents. And did the applicants want to add anything? Mr. Palmer said the applicants might want to speak themselves. Don't have to, but now's your chance if you do.
They would like to speak, so they will come on up.
All right.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Jerry Ann Grice. And I'm an owner. I am the owner of the property.
Speak into that.
Okay. All right, Ms. Grice, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
As far as the development of planting vegetation on this property, I tried, since we bought the property, to grow grass. It failed. Without bringing in eight to 10 inches of dirt on top of the soil that's there, it doesn't hold water, so everything dies. I planted, I think, 23 different variations of shrubs on the property. All of them died. I finally, the only way I could grow anything is in pots. So I had probably like 18 pots with vegetation in it. So my concern is, I read that for 5 years it's going to be monitored. Someone's going to come on my property and look at my plants, and if something is not healthy, I have to replace it. And so I'm just wondering, like, how am I supposed to maintain this if it hasn't worked yet? Other than grass, I'm sure I can probably get grass off the beach next door and plant it. And maybe that will grow. I know that will grow. So I'm not sure where this vegetation, we did talk to an ecologist, but I'm not sure. Biologist. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do for maintaining for 5 years when for the last 7 years I couldn't grow anything.
Okay, thanks for your comment. For that, thank you. Yeah, I'll be addressing that in the decision. Okay, let's move on to public at this point. Are there any members of the public that want to add anything to this application? If you do, just click on your virtual hand at the bottom of your screen if you're participating virtually, or if you're in the hearing room, just wave your hand and Ms. Jones, the clerk, will recognize you. So, no takers, Ms. Jones?
No takers in the hearing room, and it looks like no takers online as well.
Back to you, Mr. Gurney. Any final comments you want to make?
I do, and I realize I am still under oath.
Okay.
So to answer a couple of the questions or remarks made regarding buffers, our shoreline master program identifies that the ordinary high watermark, as determined by a biologist, that establishes where the shoreline edge exists. For each shoreline jurisdiction and Kitsap County Code 22400-120, it identifies vegetative buffers required for specific environmental designations. And for this designation, there is an 85-foot standard buffer with a reduced standard buffer of 50 feet. Each of those buffers carry with them a 15-foot building setback as well. So it's an additive. The building setback intends to protect any kind of vegetation that's growing in the native buffers. With regard to no buffers existing on the site, that would conflict with our codes. The as mentioned by the applicant, it is difficult to have things grow on the property. We've heard that. We recognize that. When it comes to those kind of situations, typically you get into dune grasses and those things that are very drought tolerant as well as salt tolerant, especially given that you may have wicking of salt water from the tidelands up through the soils. You do have a mix of salt tolerant plants on the site, and that still indicates that there is a buffer on the site. So we would still stand behind our analysis that there is a buffer on the site. Regarding no net loss, regardless of if it's existing native vegetation or a mix of native and non-native, the added impervious surface is what really triggers the no net loss component. And by adding the impervious surface of the garage, extra driveway apron, it is achieving no net loss by removing some of the driveway and adding planted mitigation. And that is required by Kitsap County Code in Title 22. Conference with other agencies and jurisdictions. As you mentioned, we did receive comment from the tribes. We also conferred with Ecology on multiple occasions for this permit to try and figure out solutions and how we would approach this through the variance criteria and what is the minimum relief necessary, and multiple iterations of the site plan that got us to this point today. So I believe that's answering most of the questions that are outstanding, unless you have any additional questions for me.
So where is the ordinary high water mark considered for this project? Is it at the bulkhead then, or is it?
It is at the bulkhead edge, yes. Sure. That is a standard practice.
That's right. Edge. Okay, sounds good. No, that, well, also, if it turns out there's just no vegetation that will work as mitigation, I mean, has have staff come across a situation like that? Are there circumstances where you just throw up your hands and say, okay, we recognize there's nothing that can be done here, or how do you handle that?
I have not come across that. I've checked with others, and they have not come across that. In most circumstances, in other situations, we have seen that somebody will add beach nourishment and have those kind of dune-type grasses. I believe that's what the applicant was alluding to, is those kind of dune grasses that don't require a ton of nutrients, a ton of water, and they thrive based on that kind of situation. So we do have some flexibility there if nothing's growing there. Part of the five-year monitoring piece is that it's an adaptive management tool. So if there's something not working, the biologist can come back and come with recommendations But that is something that is required by code, so we have little flexibility when it comes to the no net loss piece.
Okay, sounds good. I think you've covered everything. So I'll go ahead, close the hearing, and I got a couple weeks to issue the recommendation to the Department of Ecology, and Mr. Palmer's brought up a few issues I'll look at closely and address them in the final decision. So it all looks pretty good, though. So we'll get that decision out real soon. Thanks all for participating in this one. Let's jump on over to the next hearing, see if I can get that back up on my screen. This was for the accessory dwelling unit involving a shoreline substantial development permit, a conditional use permit, and a shoreline or a zoning code conditional use permit. I'm just trying to find the staff report here. Try to bring that back. Just give it a second. Oops. All right, there it is. Okay, so, and this is file number 23-05358, 25-01573, 25-01579. And like the last hearing, you need to get the exhibits entered into the record, and I just need to find that exhibit page. There it is. For this one, we have a total of 24 exhibits comprised of the staff report and there's a cumulative impact analysis and the floor plans for the project, critical errors report, stormwater report, geotechnical report, floor plan, stormwater pollution prevention plan narrative, and a couple public comments from agencies. That's in the site plan. That's pretty much covers most of those documents. Does anyone have any objection to entry those exhibits 1 through 24 and need to see them? If you do and you're participating virtually, click on the virtual hand, or if you're in the meeting room, wave your real hand. No takers will admit 1 through 24. Ms. Nietzsche, let me swear in. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
All right, good morning. My name is Chelsea Nietzsche. I'm an environmental planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. There we go. Slides are up. And I'm here today to bring forth the Over Yonder Limited Partnership Conditional Use Permit for an accessory dwelling unit, a shoreline conditional use permit, and the shoreline substantial development permit to the hearing examiner today. Next slide, please. There we go. And some background on the project to orient you to where it is. The parcel is a 2.87 acre parcel in Kingston. It is rectangular in shape and orients east to west, as shown on the screen. Puget Sound would be to the east, with Hoffman Road northeast to the west. And Hoffman Road northeast is a county maintained right of way, and it provides direct access to the parcel. Next slide, please. Oh, okay.
You're welcome.
Is that way with it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I have the clicker now. As mentioned, this parcel is in Kingston within the rural residential zoning designation, with a density of 1 to 5 dwelling units per acre. This parcel is also within the Rural Conservancy shoreline designation. It works. The property includes a single family residence and proposes an accessory dwelling unit, ADU, on the eastern edge of the property, or towards the eastern end of the property. Parcel characteristics include a coniferous forest, an area of maintained lawn, a fenced garden located in the northwest corner, and a small man-made landscape pond lies just east of the fenced garden. A single-family residence and garage exist on the eastern end of the parcel, and the driveway to Hoffman Road is located along the northern property boundary, and it separates the property from a wetland and stream located off-site to the north. A high bluff separates the residence from shoreline on the eastern property boundary, as shown on the screen with those contour lines. The project has a residential single-family home replacement approval under permit number 24-00228, with a revision to that residential permit under permit 24-00228R, and that is to include additions and structural modifications. The applicant requests approval of a shoreline substantial development permit, SSDP, the shoreline conditional use permit, SCUP, and conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit, CUP ADU, to construct an 898 square foot accessory dwelling unit within the 200 foot shoreline jurisdiction, yet outside of that 130 foot standard shoreline buffer. The applicants, Over Yonder Limited Partnership, completed their CUP, ADU, SCUP, and SSDP applications on the dates listed on the screen. The permits were deemed complete at various times due to the variation of times that each permit was submitted. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the optional DNS process was utilized for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrently with the revised notice of application that was dated November 12, 2025, and that notice of application included all three permits for this project. The SEPA appeal period expired December 12 of 2025. No appeals were filed, therefore the SEPA determination is final. And this parcel contains the following mapped critical areas, as shown on that photo there. And it contains hydric soils, erosion and landslide hazard areas, as well as wetlands related to the shoreline, and is in a FEMA flood hazard area. The proposed ADU will be situated outside of all of those listed areas and their buffers. The ADU will be placed in a relatively clear portion of the existing on the site. No trees or mature vegetation will be cleared within the steep slope and or steep slope setback. The property includes a single family residence and proposes an accessory dwelling unit, ADU, in the southeastern corner of the property, as shown here on this site plan. It might be a little tricky to see. There is a zoomed in version on the next slide to help. A single parking space is proposed for the ADU with a walking connection connecting the parking pad to the ADU. The proposed ADU parking space and walking path will all be outside of the 130-foot standard shoreline buffer and 15-foot building setback, with only the ADU located within the 200-foot shoreline jurisdiction. Public comments were received from the Department of Ecology and Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. These comments request confirmation that the development will not require future shoreline stabilization and that a hydraulic project approval would be acquired if necessary from the WDFW. The department has conditioned the project to address both of these comments. Shoreline jurisdiction, Shoreline jurisdiction of Rural Conservancy requires a shoreline conditional use permit for ADUs. And so I have listed the relevant code sections here. This project is considered substantial development within the shoreline and does not meet exemption criteria, thus an SSDP was required. The rural residential zoning requires a conditional use permit for the detached ADU, so that is where the CUP ADU comes in. And the proposal addresses and meets the criteria for their respective permits, as well as the listed code. Those specific components are addressed as staff comments within the staff report and further explained there if needed. All right, the following comprehensive plan goals and policies are most relevant to the application. They are listed here. These goals and policies are met since the proposed ADU, parking space, and walking path will all be situated outside of the 130-foot standard shoreline buffer and 15-foot building setback. So the proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan. To conclude, DCD recommends approval for all three permits, the CUP, ADU, SCUP, and SSDP, as conditioned. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, just right on the mark. All right, let's move on to applicant comments. Do the applicants have any comments they want to make? Ms. Jones, is the applicant in the meeting room, or?
I don't think the applicant is in the meeting room, and I don't think I see them online either.
Okay. Well, let's move on to public comments. Anyone out in the public want to say anything, just click on your virtual hand, the raise hand button. Don't take yours there either. Mm-hmm. Looks like a pretty easy one, Ms. Nitsch, you got there. One quick question for you. you said there's no net loss. I think the staff report said no net loss because it's outside of the shoreline buffer. Is that the sole basis for coming to that conclusion?
Yes, that is correct. And because the proposal does not require the removal of any trees or native vegetation.
That's going to be my next question. So yes. You kind of Read my mind there. Perfect. Okay. Well, I guess I can close the hearing on this one. It's pretty straightforward. It meets the criteria really well, so it should be no problem approving it. So we'll get that decision out in the next couple of weeks. And just because it involves a shoreline conditional use permit, if anyone is interested in this project, they should know that the Department of Ecology still has to approve it as well. So I think with that, we're done for the day. So thanks, everybody. Perfect timing for me. I have a hearing at 10, so I was kind of looking at the clock there at the end, but we made it. So thanks a lot for all your great work. We'll see you next time. Have a great
day. Thank you. Bye-bye.